Coming to you live from the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip, it's golf and other four-letter words. And now your host, you've heard him on ESPN, Fox Sports, and Sirius XM Radio, Mr. Dennis Silvers.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Come on. Thank you. Hi, welcome to another edition of Golf and Other Four-Letter Words right here on the Vegas Video Network. Hope you're able to hang with us for all 30 minutes because we have a fantastic, fantastic show in store for you tonight. So without further ado, let me briefly introduce our special guest for tonight, and I'll tell you a little bit about him. You've probably seen him anyway and heard him perform. He's absolutely wonderful. Let's put it together and welcome Mr. Dennis Bono.
Thank you.
How are you, buddy?
Thank you.
Thanks for
You know,
it's kind of weird having two Dennises on the same
set. Yeah, Dennis 1-2.
Dennis 1-2 or 2. Yeah, or Dennis squared or something
Dennis
like
squared.
That. Anyway, we're going to have some fun. Let me tell you a little bit about Dennis. He, a lot of people refer to him as the consummate interpreter of the Great American Songbook. That sounds very, very cool. He's a star of his own very successful variety talk show right here in Las Vegas at the South Point. He's performed with really a lot of the legends in the field of entertainment, and he does absolutely a fantastic job. And of course, Dennis loves to play golf. And we met a couple of years ago when I did a little thing for Channel 3. We did a golf tip out at Spanish Trail. He did an absolutely fantastic job. And I remember you telling me, Dennis, I asked you, what's the most comfortable part about your golf game? And I think you told me it was your shoes.
It was my shoes.
Or something like that.
Still,
is that still true?
Yes, it's still true. As a matter of fact, I was so comfortable, I bought new shoes. So each time I play, I'm more comfortable than the previous time.
That makes absolutely perfect sense to me. Another question, Dennis Bono. Do people ever mistake you as Bono, the guy from Bono from U2?
If you look at the pictures of either one of us, they never, never get confused.
They never do that.
No, they never get confused.
I thought, never happens.
People used to say to me, are you related to Sonny? And I used to go, not anymore.
Not anymore. All right, I like that. I like that. All right, you probably think I have forgotten, but I'm going to give you the four-letter word for tonight, which is sing. And I don't mean somebody like Vijay Singh, because as you know, that's five letters. It's sing. It's sing. The word is sing because, number one, of our very special guest. And number two, we hope that you'll really sing the praises about our show even more after you see the terrific show that we have in store for you tonight. Don't forget, you want to get a hold of Dennis or Dennis. You can send me an email, golf@VegasVideoNetwork.com, or go to VegasVideoNetwork.com and hit the live chat button, and we'll be glad to take some of your calls a little bit later in the show. Before I forget, also want to mention a syndication partner of ours, largest golf publication in the country, Golfer's Guide. You could go to LasVegasGolferGuide.com. And those people are good enough. They're actually streaming our shows live on their homepage, as you can see right here. It's a great publication. It's regional all over the country. Gives you good information about the golf courses in your area, other instructional articles, and we're going to be doing a lot of neat stuff with them in the weeks to come. So if you have a chance to pick it up at your local golf course, Golfer's Guide. It's absolutely a terrific publication. All right, time for our first segment of the show. And if you're a regular viewer, I'm sure you know what that is. But in case you have forgotten, it's simply called Tournament Scorecard. Okay, welcome back. Vegas Video Network, Golf and Other Four-Letter Words. I'm your host, Dennis Silvers. Dennis Bono, our special guest. I'm sure you probably saw the tournament last week, Dennis.
I did.
Steve Strecker holds on to win the Memorial Tournament, otherwise known as Jack's Tournament, Jack Nicklaus. And a lot of good things happened to Mr. Strecker, picking up the win. First of all, money list. He jumps from number 32 to number 9, with a little bit over $2.5 million. So that's not too bad to bank this early in the year.
And I think he's the highest rated American in the top 10.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. You just blew my next slide, but that's okay.
Sorry about that.
FedEx point list went from number 34 to number 11 with 1,121 points. And you know that's important towards the end of the year because these guys
absolutely
are playing for $10 million. World ranking points went from number 8. So Steve was doing quite well. Thank you very much. Went to number 4, and as you say, there are 6 Europeans in the top 10 ranked in the world, and Steve is the top-rated American. So good for him.
It's wonderful, and he's one of my favorite players. There are two guys that I really enjoy watching. It's Steve Stricker and Nick Watney.
I
really like watching both of them. I love their style.
I do too.
I love their demeanor.
Yeah.
And you can't help but root for a guy like Steve
Absolutely,
Stricker.
I agree. And, of course, Nick Watney is a local guy
here in
Las Vegas playing in the U.S. Open a couple of weeks. And I hope he gets through with it. He's got a little pinky issue or something like that. But he's going to be okay. Speaking about your favorite guy, Steve Stricker, how's this for a scoring average, Dennis? Went from number 7, so he was playing good, to number 3, 69.71 scoring average. Unbelievable.
His putting first of all, he was in the fairway, I mean, so frequently he was splitting the fairway. His putting was phenomenal. And he's a really consistent player. And he's 44 years old, but when you look at him, you just feel like you're watching a kid playing in his early 30s.
Yeah, he really enjoys the game.
He's
got a great attitude. The guy's like a walking ATM machine. Watch him drive, he's like laying pipe, and you said the guy could really, really roll his rock. And it was a very, very popular victory, and one that every player on the PGA Tour, I think, wants on their resume. Because the Memorial is a big deal,
it's
okay?
It's become like a major.
Yeah.
No, it's sort of one of those tournaments that's on the periphery, but people look at it like it's a major.
Yeah, you'd like to have. All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to step away, take a short station ID, and when we come back with Dennis Bohner, we're going to have a very, very fun segment with Dennis, as you know, called Birdies or Bogeys. Stay with us. We're back with you right after this.
Hi, this is Scott Pritchard from Let's Bet. You're watching the Vegas Video Network. It's VegasVideoNetwork.com. You're not using this one, right? Don't you dare use this one.
Birdies or bogeys. Glad they're awake in the booth. All right, we finally got it on track. All right, Dennis, I'm going to give you some gossip on tour, some news items. Let me know if you think it's a birdie or a bogey or whatever, and let me know why, and then I'm going to let you know if I agree with you. All right. As we know, the Men's U.S. Open starts in a couple of weeks. Starts on June 14th. How about this? 58-year-old Gary Koch and 61-year-old Tom Kite both qualified to play in the U.S. Open. Not to mention the other day, 55-year-old Hall of Famer Betsy King qualifies in a 36-hole event to play in the Women's U.S. Open. So is it... you're for the seniors, or what's going on?
Well, certainly, my age. That's a birdie for me.
That's a birdie, all right.
That's definitely a birdie. Anytime I see the revival of players who have been legendary and get on a streak, it's adding credibility, and not that the U.S. Open needs credibility, but it adds such stature to it when you have people who have become legendary in during the eras that they played. So I think that's a birdie.
I agree with you. So and it really does. People that don't play golf really understand. It really is a game for life, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely a game for life.
You keep yourself in good shape and
you do.
Go for it.
My grandson is given up. I mean, he still likes to play sports, but he's dedicated himself at 13 to play golf, and that's
great.
All he wants to do, and it's the best thing because he's learned such values on and off the golf course.
That's great. Before we go, what got you started in golf briefly?
I guess my dad, I was probably about 14 years old, and he would go to play golf, and I would caddy for him, and then I started to get more interested in it, and you know, once it gets in your blood,
yeah,
that's it.
You're hooked.
You're hooked.
It's really, yeah, really something. All right, a European professional by the name of Elliot Salzman is coming off a three-month ban by the European Tour that was imposed on him for improperly marking his ball. Now, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but his two playing partners apparently had, you know, a little issue with it and said something, and they found enough credence into giving the guy a three-month suspension. Anyway, that's gone. He came back and played last week or 2 weeks ago in the Wales Open. Knocks a ball in the cup on the par 3 17th on the Thursday round.
Okay.
Comes up to the same par 3 17th on the Sunday round and knocks it right in the hole for two aces on the same hole in the same event. You think it's revenge or
well, it's certainly,
I mean, astonishing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm kind of flabbergasted. I mean, certainly the you know, talk about birdie. I mean, the holes in one tournament are amazing. But I'm kind of flabbergasted that a three-month ban for improperly, yeah, marking your ball had to be, it had to be intentionally. You know, it's like he was
egregious.
Yeah, that's right. It's not a mistake.
I don't know what the hell that means, but
yeah,
egregious.
But yeah, for a 3 month ban, it had to be something that
was
intentional.
Absolutely.
And otherwise, if it was a mistake, I don't think that would have been 3 months.
I agree with you. But good for him. Two hole in ones in the same round.
Yeah. Well, that's payback.
Yeah,
I guess.
It's payback. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Often. All right. Donald Trump. Everybody knows Donald Trump. He's building a course in Scotland. You know, all part of his course empire. Building a course in Scotland, and he was accused of bullying tactics by erecting a fence around a neighbor's house, and Donald sent the guy a bill. He built the fence around his house because this neighbor refused to sell his house to Donald, and it was kind of standing in the way of shaping one of the holes.
Okay. So he built the fence around the guy's house.
Right.
And you said he sent them a bill
Donald
for the fence?
Trump sent him the bill, which was for about 2,500 pounds. So the guy's obviously fighting it.
Yeah. Well, that's a bogey.
That's
definitely a bogey.
Yeah.
You know, Donald is the Donald. I mean, yeah, I don't know what you, you know, I can't picture him playing in Scotland. His hair could blow into the North Sea.
You're absolutely right. There was an incident, you remember, Dennis, when Steve Wynn here was redoing the golf course at Desert Inn.
Right.
And there were a couple of people
didn't want to
along
sell.
Paradise, uh-huh, that didn't want to sell, and he,
right,
was making their life miserable too.
Right.
So kind of a similar thing.
But I guess
that all got worked out.
It did, and it usually does. And
yeah,
I mean, it usually has to do with money.
Yeah.
You know, it's how much am I going to be able to
That's
get
exactly
for this?
That's exactly what it was.
You know, but it's like that house that's near Caesars in Atlantic City. They ended up building the
around
it.
Yeah.
So, you
You're
know,
exactly
it depends
right
how stubborn you want to be.
It's about money. Yeah. All right, slow play, Dennis, has always been both a concern and problem on the PGA Tour. Golf.com decided to identify some of the slowest players, and they did this a few tournaments back at the Arnold Palmer Invitational in Bay Hill, and let me give you the order.
Oh, I love starting from the slowest.
Starting from the slowest. Guy from Australia, very good player, left-handed. Don't think that had anything to do with it. Nick O'Hearn.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, we still birdie bogey. That's definitely,
yeah,
that's bogey. If you're that's that slow,
absolutely,
that's definitely a bogey.
All right, how about number two, J.B. Holmes?
You know, I've witnessed that. He's backed away more than one occasion. It's a little bit of overthinking. Slow play is bogey. I don't care how many guys are on that list. Bogey, bogey, bogey. If there's five, all of them are bogeys.
All of them are bogeys.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree
but
with
I'm
you.
But I'm curious. It's interesting.
Number
to find
three,
out who
an Australian guy, very good player, great ball striker, John Sendon.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I've seen him in a few tournaments, but not in a position where they focus the camera on him so long that you can, you know, we're at the mercy of television. They focus in on the players they want
right
to focus in on. So sometimes there's other guys on a golf course, we don't know how slow they're
That's
playing.
That's exactly right.
So.
Number four is Kevin Na, another very good player.
Well, I know one
deliberate
time why he was slow. He took so many shots on one hole.
Oh, that's true. What, did he take a zillion shots on this par four? That's very good. You got a good memory. And finally, bringing up the end of the list is Charlie Wee.
Really?
Very deliberate, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't, you know,
yep.
wasn't aware of that.
Yep.
But that's all, you know what, if they can
guys.
Compile this, then they all deserve bogeys. I
Absolutely.
Mean, we're
going to
throw
do.
Them in birdie bogey category. Yeah. Slow play is unacceptable.
Yeah, it's very, you got to play ready golf. Favorite course here in Vegas and favorite course that you've played all over the country, your different travels?
You know, it's funny. I'm a creature of habit, as you well know. I mean, I belong to Las Vegas Country Club,
right.
which is a beautiful golf course.
Yeah.
I play at Desert Pines a lot because I'm comfortable there. I like the people there, and that's all very, that's important to me, is to walk onto a property where everybody makes me feel good, you know, from the moment I get out of the car.
Right.
And I like the layout of the golf course. I'm not a long hitter, but I would like to think that, you know, hitting it straight is might be one of my fortes. So it's not a long golf course, Desert Pines, but it's you got to hit it straight,
hit
and
it
you
straight.
Have to putt. And that's one of my favorite golf courses here.
Yeah, I like Desert Pines too. It's always in pretty good shape
yep.
too. And briefly, what to you makes for a good golf experience? Sure, you like to shoot. You know, 65. But I mean, other than that, what do you come away with? God, I really had a good time.
Well, first of all, you're playing partners, you know, and I'm the kind of guy who spontaneously goes to the golf course. And I meant not necessarily call ahead for a starting time. So I'll go, and a lot of times I'll tie up with tourists, people that are from other parts of the country.
Right.
And I would say 98% of the time, that's a really nice experience.
Yeah.
I find most people to be in very enjoyable company from different parts of the United States, and I get a chance to talk to them about the Las Vegas that I know,
right.
that they don't get a chance to
right.
see because they're staying on the Strip.
Right.
As I said earlier, the courtesies on a golf course, when you have a pro shop that everybody's courteous, when
yep.
you have the staff that are, you know, the marshal
right.
or the starter, the people in the restaurant, the food in the restaurant. I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah.
When I'm comfortable in a place, it's like going to your favorite
yeah,
restaurant.
Absolutely.
And that's basically the way I treat golf. And I think the most important thing is just enjoy the company you're with. Sometimes you get tied up with somebody
yeah.
that can really make you uncomfortable.
Right.
You know, they're not sociable.
Yeah.
They might have an anger problem,
yeah.
and that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I agree with you. But see, typical Las Vegas entertainment. Oh, I never call. I just show up. I just show up. Hi, I'm Dennis Bono.
Well,
I get
no,
out.
I would
okay?
I would typical. Say that. I'll call ahead and I'll
yeah,
say,
yeah, tell them I'm on my way.
No,
send a limo.
Do you have a tournament or something?
Oh,
I won't,
my,
you know. But
yeah.
they'll say, oh no, we can squeeze you in. And I mean, that's the way I tend to do
all
it.
All right,
so.
I'm sure they're glad.
You know,
to
when
have
I'm
you.
Done with the honeydews.
Yeah.
Then I call the golf course.
I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. All right, don't forget, email golf@vegasvideonetwork.com. Get on vegasvideonetwork.com. Hit that live chat because right now, Dennis is going to help everybody out there with a little segment that we like to call Handicap Helper. All right, welcome back. He's Dennis. I'm Dennis. You're watching Golf and Other Four-Letter Words right here on the Vegas Video Network. All right, let's have some fun with this. These are email questions that I got a little bit earlier, Dennis. So just, you know, give this your best shot vis-a-vis
okay.
your experience and all of that stuff. See, we've got a live chat question already. But I want to ask you this. John emailed me and wants some advice on club selection when chipping. This is funny because of our thing before, club selection when chipping from just off the green to a downhill pin. What do you do? What's your advice?
Well, I remember I played off my back foot.
Yeah.
And it depends on where I am in the fringe, how far I have to go, but I play it way off my back foot and swing at it like a putt. That seems to work for me.
That's good advice.
Not all the time, but...
You use the same club all the time, or do
I
you
do.
Change it up?
No, I do.
Okay.
Well, I mean, there are times that, depending on how deep the grass is.
Right.
But, most of the time, I'm comfortable with the pitching wedge and just, using it as a putter.
That's very, very good advice. We got a live chat question, Scott.
We do. Bill wants to know, are there any golf courses in Vegas that allow you to walk the course versus use a golf cart?
As a matter of fact, I mentioned Desert Pines.
Right.
Desert Pines, you can walk the golf course. They have caddies So, I mean, I'm sure there are other golf courses that allow it. Maybe certain days they don't, you know, depending on how busy it is on a weekend. But I know that there are players out there that I've seen walking. Yeah. There are caddies. And
But
Desert Pines for one.
And there are others, especially with the summertime coming along. And you know how hot it gets here in Las Vegas. And play slows down a little bit. So to entice more players to come to their facility, they're offering really, really inexpensive rates if you walk. In other words, if you go out after 2 o'clock, Dennis, you could walk till it gets dark and play as many holes as you want.
Because it's a dry heat.
Because it is a dry heat.
It's a dry heat.
That's exactly right.
I always love the people walking down the street from Mandalay Bay, and they go, oh, it's 106. Let's walk to the Flamingo. And, you know, 3 hours later, ambulance is taking them away, and they're going, but it's a dry heat.
Yeah. It's a dry heat. Carl needs a good technique for hitting a punch shot. And what I'm assuming, Carl, you could say punch up, but I'm thinking of a knockdown shot. Mm-hmm. Say you're playing into the wind. What do you do to hit a knockdown?
Well, I wish I could answer that, because that's one of my most difficult. I have a very difficult time keeping the ball low. And when it's windy here, I prefer not to play. As you well know, we talked about that, because I'm not very adept at hitting that knockdown shot. But I know that it's like on a tee shot, you know, it's teeing the ball lower, playing it a little bit, different in your stance. But for me, I'm not very consistent with it. So I just kind of like, okay, hit it out there, and hopefully the wind will allow you a decent second shot.
Well, you had some good advice. I would say, in my experience, one more club, play it off your back foot.
Right.
Don't go after it three-quarter shot, because you're taking an extra club. You don't have to finish up high. It's kind of a three-quarter follow through. Keep it under the wind, and usually that'll work out for you.
You know, playing in the wind here is difficult.
It's
very
difficult
to play in the wind, and we get a lot of it.
Yeah.
So
it's very difficult. If you live in Las Vegas, you're going to have to learn to play in the wind. Scott, another live chat question. Great. Keep them coming in.
We do. Nate wants to know, or he said, last week you talked about power play golf. Are there any courses here in Las Vegas that offer that style of golf?
Do you know what power play golf is?
I'm not quite sure.
It's over a 9-hole deal. They set two different pins on the same green. One's an easy pin to get to, one's a harder pin to get to. If you go for the harder pin, you get more points, and the person at the end of the 9 holes who has the most points wins.
Do they do that in a tournament, or is it?
Well, they're doing it before tournaments.
Ah.
They kind of introduced that just before the Wales Open, as a matter of fact, last week. And they want to do it in club championships and maybe some other tour events. But to my knowledge, right now in Las Vegas, no, nobody's doing the power play golf. But I gotta bet you dollars to donuts, sooner or later, it's going to catch
That's
on.
That's the first time I've heard of it.
Yeah, they're going to try it. Tony is looking for a good warm-up routine. What's your warm-up routine when you're on the range before you play?
Usually, I have. You know, I bought that Medicus.
Yeah.
Okay.
The driver.
Because my biggest problem is tempo. All right. And so what I do is, I'll do a few stretching things just to kind of turn and loosen up. And I go to the driving range. I establish my tempo, even though you should be probably starting with your wedges. But I start with swinging with the Medicus just in order to get my tempo, because that's my biggest problem, is I tend to get a little quick. And if it's windy, then I really get quick.
Yeah.
Which
Everybody
is the worst
does.
Thing you could do, right. because then it throws your whole game off.
Everybody. So. How could you have no tempo, for crying out loud? You're a great singer.
Yeah, well, I have good time.
What's up with that?
I have good time. I mean, I can establish a tempo musically. Doesn't seem to be a problem. But I think that with the golf, and when you're not a long hitter like I'm not a long hitter, so I have a tendency, especially if I'm playing with guys that are younger, and I see them get that extra, subconsciously, you always want that extra 20 yards.
Yeah.
And so my mistake is that I'll get a little quick. So the first club I start to swing is the Medicus, and that way at the driving range, at least I know if it's not breaking that I've established the right tempo.
Excellent. One more live chat question, Scott.
Yeah, we do. Bill wants to know, who is the best celebrity golfer y'all have ever golfed with?
The best one that I've ever golfed with. Well, certainly an old timer here in Las Vegas, and I don't like to use the word old timer.
We do it affectionately.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
because they'll it's be, they'll be using it, that with me. It won't be
it's
long.
It's a term
before.
Of endearment.
Yeah, that's
you know,
right. I hope that they say that with me. It's a term of endearment. Don Cherry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don Cherry, certainly one of the great celebrity golfers, a great singer over the years.
Absolutely.
He took over the Dean Martin Summer Show when, you know, in the glory days in the 60s. And, I mean, he finished, what, behind Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer in the U.S. Open and British Open and, I mean, an amazing Walker Cup.
And it so happens that Don Cherry, great guy, lives where Dennis and his lovely wife lived. Don, in his day, was probably the best amateur player in the United States. Also had a dual life. Was also a number one recording
absolutely.
Artist.
Absolutely, had a million selling records.
He played and he entertained as he went along.
You know, he calls. I mean, from Arnold Palmer to Jack Nicklaus to
his buddies
to Ben Hogan, they were all friends of his. Yeah. So he, but he certainly, I've played golf with him, and even at his age, he still has that swing.
He is absolutely fantastic. Yeah.
That's the best celebrity. I've played with a lot of celebrity golfers. Most of them are. I like it because most of them are worse than I am.
They're not great.
So I really enjoy playing with
them. I'll tell you, I've played with the best that I've played with, and he's a scratch player, Kenny G.
Kenny G.
Wonderful player.
I would not want to play with
Kenny G. No, he is.
Yeah. I would break his saxophone.
He's a serious player. All right, got another live chat question, Scott.
Yeah, Ted wants to know, does Dennis mostly golf for the fun of it, or has he found that it's been effective to help his entertainment career?
Oh, good question.
Well, that's a good question. First of all, it's beneficial. I play for fun. I'm not a, I don't, a lot of guys go out and play.
Yeah, they're serious players.
They're real serious. And, you know, we play, I have a couple guys that I play with. We play for, like, who's going to pick up the check at lunch?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. And so I play for fun, but I found out that meeting so many people on the golf course has been a benefit to me, because once they become friends and they come back to Vegas, they come to see my show.
Exactly.
So it's I never look at it like it's a business venture, but at the same time I play for fun, I meet people for fun, and when I establish friendships that tend to stand the test of time, it's a win-win situation.
Absolutely. And it's best score you've ever shot.
A 76.
Sweet.
Yeah, well, it's you know, I about two or three times a summer I break 80. And 76 was the best I've ever shot.
Nice.
But this summer I'm not headed in the right direction.
I hear you. And other than the shoes, best part of your game, would you say?
The best part of my game is probably my putting.
Your putting?
Yeah.
It's
but
important.
It's streaky. You know, it's streaky.
That's important.
Some days I get, you know, you're rolling it so well, and other days you go like, your body's moving and your head's moving.
We've got a golf and other four-letter words exclusive for all of our viewers. Going on sale tomorrow, Dennis's newest CD entitled Golf Songs I Always Wanted to Sing, which includes his hit single, The More Divots I Take, The Closer I Get to You, or Shanks for All Our Good Times, okay? Finishing with my favorite, personally, is My Love for You Might Seem a Bit Out of Bounds. And he wraps it up with, this is Break Your Heart. You may be a hooker, but I still want a slice of your love.
How did you know that was about to come out.
Where can they find those? I don't know, but you're going to have a hell of
I'm
a problem.
I'm selling them out of the trunk of my car.
All right, seriously, where can people come to Las Vegas find you? And if you come to Las Vegas, you got to go see this guy, because he's got a great show. He's got a great voice. He has all the top celebrities on his weekly show every week. Where can they come find you?
Well, certainly, if you look up my website, DennisBono.com, it lists, you know, everything. But currently the show is we're in our 11th year. Now we're at the South Point this past year. We tape 2:00 every Thursday, and then it airs 13 times a week across the United States. Yep. And, you know, I still do concert dates, and my recordings are being played on Seriously Sinatra. And but, you know, come and see me. And I still occasionally go out and do a concert date. So
Yeah. Real quickly before we leave, because we're getting a little bit short of time, real quickly, how did Sinatra, and I know he was a real mentor, so to speak, how come he became so influential in your career?
Well, certainly, growing up with the Great American Songbook I never thought that I would meet Sinatra, but I grew up with the love of that music and the respect for it, the songwriters and the and the arrangers. And I had a CD that was getting airplay on the West Coast, and Jilly, his guy, found me, brought me from the East Coast to the West Coast. And, you know, I learned an awful lot from him. I learned how to treat a song, treat a lyric, yeah. and become the actor instead of just the singer. So the greatest influence in my life musically, and most singers that sing the Great American Songbook will tell you that if they tell you that he's not the greatest influence, they're not telling you the truth.
Yeah, they're not telling you the truth, absolutely. And you ought to hear this guy sing a song with his wife, Lorraine. The two of them are just...
My wife's a great singer.
Yeah, just absolutely, absolutely knock your socks off. Dennis, great job.
It's a joy.
You're welcome back every time. We got to get out.
I felt like I was on This Is Your Life and you were Ralph Edwards.
Here they come with the book
right
now.
My third grade teacher is going to be...
As a matter of fact. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of Golf and Other Four-Letter Words on the Vegas Video Network. Thanks for hanging with us. Hope you enjoy the show. We like bringing it to you. We're going to be right back here, same place, same time next week. Until then, fairways and greens, everybody. We'll see you back then. So long.